Can you comment on some of the recent developments in understanding the biology of MPN?
So in the last decade, I think we've come to really be focusing on JAK and JAK-STAT signaling in these diseases, particularly with the discovery of the JAK2V617F mutation. And many of us have thought that JAK-STAT activation is a key to the pathogenesis of this disease. And then came the question when we discovered the calreticulin mutation only a few years ago, how does a mutation in calreticulin, which is a protein that's in the endoplasmic reticulum that's probably involved in post-translational modification and packaging of proteins on their way out of the cell, how does that lead to JAK-STAT activation? Well, in the last sort of year or two, it's become apparent that actually calreticulin mutations activate JAK-STAT via a completely novel process. So what the abnormal calreticulin protein actually associates with MPL, which is a thrombopoietin receptor, and causes JAK-STAT activation in that way. So that's recently been described. So the next question is JAK-STAT activation or JAK activation of primacy in these diseases? I think it's of fundamental importance, but I don't think it's absolutely of primacy. I think that we have to think about some evidence from the kind of therapeutic perspective when we consider that. So if we block the JAK-STAT pathway, for example, with ruxolitinib, the JAK1/2 inhibitor, we don't abrogate all of the disease features. And so there are probably other mechanisms at play here. Well, there may be, for example, heterodimer formation. It may be that the PI3 kinase pathway is important. I think it's a bit too simplistic just to focus on JAK-STAT. It's really important. It's taught us a lot. And it's benefiting our patients in terms of a therapeutic approach. But it's probably not the sole abnormality. So in this way, the way I think about and the way I teach about myeloproliferative neoplasms is they're really very different from their sister disorder, chronic myeloid leukemia. Because in chronic myeloid leukemia, we really think that BCR-ABL, the oncogene, is really important, and that if you can block BCR-ABL, you can really treat the disease. But we've learned that actually that's not true at the present time with the JAK inhibitors that we have. However, I would remind all of us today that the JAK inhibitors that we have, of course, are not mutation specific, and they're type 1 versus type 2 inhibitors. So there may well be some important pharmacological and biochemical attributes that are important there.
Could you talk about your vision of sort of what the JAK-STAT pathway is doing normally?
So when I think about the JAK-STAT pathway, based here in London, I have to think about the underground and the many different routes, if you like, from the outside of the cell, so from the periphery of London or the periphery of a city, into the centre and what that's actually doing. So in a kind of classical binary way, we would think about the JAK-STAT pathway just activating other kinases in a kind of cascade-like fashion. And that's very much what we thought, the involvement of MAP kinase, PI3 kinase, etc., and that it's kind of very linear. But actually, of course, much like the underground in London, the system is much more complicated than that. And really interesting work has come about recently suggesting that, for example, the JAK protein may well in itself not just be located to the nucleus and to the cytokine receptors, but it may actually translocate into the nucleus and be involved in histone phosphorylation and thus directly affect gene expression.